Welcome to this episode of DebtWired. I'm Jelena Zeitz, Head of Leveraged Loans at DebtWire. I'm pleased to have with me Till Schweitzer, Managing Director at global asset management firm Partners Group today. Till will give us an overview of the leveraged loan market. We will also talk about CLO issuance and arbitrage. And we will also discuss how can CLOs position in light of a generally strong market and an increasing number of underperforming credits. Hello, Till. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Hi, Jelena. Thank you very much for having me.
Let's start with the leveraged loan issuance. The first quarter was off to a good start. However, it was mostly repricing and refinancing transactions driving the activity, while M&A remained subdued. Could you give us your view of the current state of the leveraged market? In terms of supply and demand, do you think they're in balance? How do you see the market evolving? Do you expect a meaningful pickup in M&A volume?
Yeah, when I saw the wave of repricings in January and February, I was very concerned about supply versus demand in the leveraged loan market. However, over the last 2 months, the market has been surprisingly balanced, with strong CLO creation offset by good primary loan market issuance. And as a result, the compression in spreads, which we have seen in January, has now eased. Single B issuances still come at margins of at least 4%, and trickier credits come closer to 5%. And I think that the fact that we see this price differentiation is also a sign of a well-functioning market. Investors can choose given the large number of issuances. And I agree with your comment that a large driver of loan market supply is the refinancing activity from direct lending to the syndicated market. M&A activity so far has been low. However, we've seen a few IPOs recently, Amersport in the US and Galderma in Switzerland, for example, and that shows that sponsors are starting to exit companies. And I think that could be the start of an increase in investment activity to replace existing investments with new investments. We see the first headlines, right? We've seen news of CVC buying Monbaik from Ardian. We've seen EQT buying Universidad Europea from Permira. And then Dorna and Alta Domus are also changing owners. So all in all, I'm quite positive about the primary pipeline. I think the start which we've seen is promising. And with M&A increasing, I think there will be more good primary issuances in the weeks and months to come.
I think everybody would welcome that on all sides of the market. Now, in terms of CLO issuance, it also seems to have been stronger than expected thus far this year. And we also started to see some CLO refinancing and resets, as well as liquidations. Now, how do you see the current CLO landscape in Europe? And could you walk us through some of the main hurdles for CLO issuance? And also, what are your expectations for the CLO issuance, as well as refinancing and resets for this year?
It has been a good start of the year for CLO issuances indeed. There's strong demand for AAA-rated notes from both European and Asian investors, and there are some very active accounts from the US and UK buying mezzanine notes. So supply and demand seem to balance each other out. I think that's the reason why we've seen such pretty stable pricing over the last 3 months. AAA-rated notes have quite consistently priced within a narrow corridor of 146 to 150 basis points for established managers. And I think that stability really shows that this is where we have that equilibrium right now. And I think in general, there are fewer hurdles right now for CLOs than we have had over the last 2 years. And primary supply, as mentioned, is certainly helping to ramp up warehouses. And investor demand is strong for all tranches, including equity, which I think is also a change compared to last year. In terms of activity, refis, resets, and so on, as you mentioned. And we do certainly see an increase in activity also for older vintage CLOs. So the CLOs which have priced over the last 2 years they are now coming out of their non-call periods, standard 1 year, 1.5 year non-call periods. And those CLOs can now be refinanced or reset at lower liability costs. For example, on our side, we reset Penta CLO 12 just last week. And then older vintage CLOs, so from pre-COVID, with very low liability costs, those CLOs are now amortizing. For most of those, a reset or a repricing probably doesn't make sense. And so more of those CLOs will be liquidated. And I think those liquidations help the loan supply. Likely there will be more BVICs. And the debt investors in those rated notes, they might want to reinvest the proceeds into new CLOs. And that should help demand for CLO primaries again. So I think we might have some cycle of positive drivers which help each other.
That sounds promising. How is the current CLO arbitrage holding up? And what can managers do to improve it?
Yeah, I think on paper, the arb between assets and liabilities looks better than it has been for a long time. We have weighted average liability costs of around 2.3% and then assets still above 4%. So that looks quite promising. However, given how close the market is now trading to par, there's much less potential for mark-to-market gains compared to the last 2 years. So the last 2 years have been great for equity investments, although the asset liability spread has been tighter than it is now, but we had this rally in loan prices and were able to generate those mark-to-market gains. Going forward, we can't count on these mark-to-market gains anymore. Now it's really all about improving the arb over time by rotating into primaries and, of course, by avoiding restructurings and defaults.
Speaking of defaults, last year, despite the interest rate hikes and macroeconomic turbulence, the general performance in loan issuers has held up relatively well throughout 2023, and default rates have been relatively low. However, as the effect of higher for longer interest rate takes hold, credit defaults and downgrades are likely to start increasing. So how can CLOs position in the light of what we have a generally strong market and an increasing number of underperforming credits?
Yeah, I think you're summarizing it well. I mean, last year we've seen a lot of negative macro news, but default rates stayed surprisingly low. And then this year, macro picture looks much better, but likely we will have higher default rates. And I agree with the positive macroeconomic sentiment. I think European economies will experience soft landing. The rate hike cycle is coming to an end. So that's why one might wonder why will default rates increase? And I think that last year, a lot of underperforming companies were buying time. So we've seen equity injections, we've seen sales and leaseback transactions, and we've seen stressed A&Es. And those activities pushed out maturities and they at least temporarily bridged liquidity shortfalls. But they haven't solved all the issues of over-levered capital structures. And some of those companies which had stressed capital structures and still have stressed capital structures, I think they will consider more aggressive ways to right-size their cap structures this year. And what does that mean for us as a portfolio manager? It means that we have to be very focused on reducing our exposure to companies which have over-levered capital structures. And one prominent example is in Q4 last year, we reduced our CLO platform's exposure to Altice France from a total of 39 million at that time to 20 million across loans and bonds. So when Altice France management team made their now notorious statements on the investor call last month, we had an average exposure of only 0.3% to Altice in our Penta CLOs, way less than the index. And I think that's also the way to manage portfolios going forward. The firm's secondary market of recent weeks has or still allows us to reduce risk without generating much of a par loss. A lot of names which traded in the 80s last year are now back to the 90s. And so we can sell some of those names without crystallizing too much of a par loss. And then in addition to that, we are focusing a lot on documentation. So basket capacities, or also is there a supermajority vote to change the jurisdiction or a governing law? Because those things are highly relevant now, given the increasing number of liability management actions in the US. So far, all of those have been under New York law, and in Europe, that's still untested under European law, under UK law. And so we want to make sure that there's a high threshold to move companies over to US law, and that's one criteria. And obviously, there's a higher risk of these kind of liability management exercises for cross-border transactions than purely European transactions. I think that's also something which is on top of our minds.
Right. There is, you mentioned loan documentation and the baskets. I also wanted to ask, what about, coming in and out of a credit? White lists have been mentioned in the past as something that's maybe preventing some trading. Have you encountered this to be a problem in the last, maybe with the recent issuers?
I agree. I mean, we had these situations last year, right, with GenesisCare, which dropped like a stone because the whitelist was very restrictive and other lenders could only step in when it pretty much was too late. So we are focused on that. I think in general, documentation in that regards has a bit improved on due to pushbacks from lenders. But yeah, I mean, it remains a key point for us. In addition to that, I think also ownership becomes more important for us, really. Who is the sponsor for a company and what's the sponsor's track record in regards to helping over-levered companies by doing equity injections on one hand or by pursuing very aggressive liability management exercises. And I think sponsors which have been more aggressive and have that bad reputation, they will ultimately have to pay up when it comes to new primaries.
Interesting. Till, thank you for being on the podcast and sharing your insights. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
For our audience, thank you for listening to the show today. And please visit Spotify or iTunes for more DebtWire podcasts.